The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you're an unbeliever and you don't believe that the Almighty Creator exists, then when you die, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. And it's important to understand that the Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you think something pleasant is going to happen to you when you die, you're in for a nasty shock. Or if you think you're just going to vaporize, going to end up on your corpse, you might end up in your coffin, you might end up on a family member, friend. Not going to be a pleasant experience. If you're a believer but you don't have any form of relationship with the Almighty, in other words, once upon a time you realized that the Creator existed, and since then you've pretty much lived your life as though He doesn't exist, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven? Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In this context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. Today we're going to discuss the subject that hell is real and for believers. Overview of the program. This broadcast discusses the reality of hell and that hell is a place of correction before believers after they die. We then go on to discuss some key considerations with regard to the visions of hell that will be discussed in the next broadcast. The subject of hell is then discussed in more detail. It is postulated that no one is intentionally going to hell, and it is then noted that there are good, decent people in hell. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've been a strategic management consultant for over 30 years. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Jasper asked, how do men earn a throne with the Almighty? I guess, Jasper, you're saying how do people, because women also earn a throne. Well, the first thing you need to do to earn a throne is to seek to come into relationship with him. In order to come into close relationship with him, you need to deal with all your sin and error in your life. And then you need to do whatever it is he's called you to do, which may be to tell other people about him, maybe to help people get closer to him, maybe to speak on his behalf, maybe to listen to what he has to say and write it down and publish it. and it could be to play some role in society in which you represent him. The key thing is to do it in relationship with him, and that will take time. Francis asked, truth may change as things go along, right? Francis, no, not correct. The fundamental truth as known to the Almighty will never change. Our understanding of truth evolves as we progressively carve away sin and error and get closer to truth. So we may learn something today that we're convinced is truth, but in a few months or a few years' time, we may discover that there's a lot more to it than we thought there was. And so our truth, in inverted commas, may appear to change, but it does fundamentally, the Almighty's truth does not change. Jasmine asks, does anyone shave their eyebrows? Jasmine, no. The first time I did a full body shave, I was about to shave my eyebrows, and Father said, don't shave your eyebrows, nobody will understand what's going on. So no, don't shave your eyebrows, and if you're a woman, don't shave your head. If you're a man, yes, by all means, shave your head as part of the cleansing process that we discussed a few weeks ago. Estrella asked, how do we recognize what is satanic? Estrella, that's really difficult. As I'll talk about a bit later in this program, there are a large number of good people who are either unbelievers or who are in serious sin. The fundamental test of what's right and what's wrong is the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment, and we need to learn to apply those. It's not that easy to recognize. It does take time, and you need to get into close relationship with Father to get there. Jasper asked, are the demons the same for everyone? Jasper, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that they are all the spirits of deceased human beings. No, in the sense that every single demon is a separate human being. So each demon is unique. Each demon has walked its own road as a human being to get to being a demon, and its own road as a demon in what they're doing to haunt you and to lead you astray. Demons do belong to families, so if the demon's strong point is pride, they will be in the army of pride. If it's lust, they'll be in the army of lust, and so forth. And they will be given primary tasks, for example, to lead you into pride, lead you into lust, lead you into confusion or error or fear or whatever. Ursula asked or stated, not all parents are deserving of being well treated. Just because they're old, Ursula, nobody said anything about them deserving being well-treated. It's a commandment. Father says, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. So if you want things to go well with you, treat your parents well, no matter how badly they treat you, no matter how badly they treated you in your childhood. It's the way it is. There's no room for whether they're deserving or not, and you may find that if you treat them well, they will behave differently in time. And if they don't treat them well, honor them, respect them. If that you're a believer and they're an unbeliever, there's a point at which you're not going to let their unbelief influence your belief, and you need to accept that they're not necessarily going to come to belief, although you would hope to prevent them ending up as demons. Lester asked, are you saying women can lay with women, but men cannot lay with men? Yes, Lester, that's what I'm saying. Some comments in response to some further questions that were asked of me subsequently. Just to clarify my comments on tithing. Tithing creates a spiritual yoke with the person receiving the money linked to the person giving the money. So tithing to someone or a ministry which is in error makes the person giving the money a partner in their sin. So the point that I was making last week, it is sin and error for churches, etc., to ask for tithes and offerings unless they are teaching full truth, and none of them are teaching full truth. So you should not be tithing to a church. Tithe to an individual who is speaking truth and giving truth if you feel impressed by Father to do so. But otherwise, keep your money to yourself and use it for your own ministry. As I said last week, every one of us is called to a ministry as believers. Also want to make clear, and it comes across again later in tonight's broadcast, this is not about being and doing good. It's about being in relationship with the Creator. There are a huge number of good people who live good lives, are honest, hardworking, loving, etc., but they do not have a relationship with the Creator and are therefore going to end up as demons or in the utter darkness. And those that are unbelievers are serving Satan. You may not want to hear this, but if you are a good unbeliever, you are a servant of Satan. The first commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you are not doing that, you're serving Satan. I'm sorry to have to point that out to you. The only valid prayer for somebody who does not believe is that Yah will intervene dramatically in their lives and bring them to sin. It is gross sin for a believer to pray for unbelievers that Yah will heal them, that Yah will make things that they won't suffer from the coronavirus or whatever. Father doesn't care what happens to the unbelievers. They don't believe that he exists. They hate him, and he is not interested in them. It's sin for a believer to pray for Yah to do anything for unbelievers apart from a specific unbeliever to bring them to belief. And once you've prayed that a few times, if it hasn't happened, let it go. Please note that my comments with regard to the Ten Commandments only apply to true believers. It does not matter what unbelievers do. That is of no consequence to the Creator. They will end up as demons anyway. So everything that I speak about, just about everything that I speak about, is directed at believers only. Finally, just to recap a point I made last week. Every believer is either a spokesperson, in other words, prophet or prophetess, an evangelist, a shepherd. Some call it the pastor, but that's a completely wrong name, very badly abused, a shepherd, or they're a baby. In other words, they've come to belief in the last year or two. They're going through a growth process, and somebody, the shepherds, are helping them to grow. But in terms of once you've been a believer for a couple of years, you have a ministry, either as a prophet, as an evangelist, or a shepherd. There are no other roles. So let's turn to the core message tonight. Hell is real, and it's for disciplining believers with regard to unconfessed sin. Now, you may say to me, well, that's an ugly message. Why do you have to talk about hell? Folks, you need to know the reality. You need to know what you're up against. Would you rather be uncomfortable now and course correct, or would you prefer to die and then find you're going to spend years in hell because you didn't know the truth? There are many misunderstandings regarding the place that is commonly referred to as hell, the place of torment. In particular, believers believe that unbelievers are going to hell and they believers are going to heaven. unbelievers generally do not believe there is a hell, a place of torment, and for them, that is correct. Hell is for believers. This broadcast series references a number of reports of visions or out-of-body experiences reported by believers who were taken to the place of torment, hell. These reports will be summarized in the next broadcast. This broadcast lays the foundation. In considering these reports, please be aware that the reality is in fact as follows. Number one, Yahushua, Jesus, lived and died a terrible death so that believers have a simple and effective mechanism for repenting of sin and receiving forgiveness. The life of Yahushua was without sin, and therefore he became the offering sacrifice for sin. Failure of believers to unveil themselves with this mechanism is great sin. For this reason, the penalty for despising the sacrifice is great. Accordingly, it is believers, not unbelievers, who are tormented in the place of torment, in other words, hell. A year for every year they were in sin, and severity and intensity of torment proportional to the severity of their sin, as evidenced very clearly in the paintings of the young Korean artist, which I plan to discuss next week. Folks, this is so important. People blithely talk about Yeshua's death on the cross, actually a stake, terrible torture, flogged, carrying that stake, nailed to the stake, bleeding, suffering, crown of thorns. He did that to become an offering for sin, so that you could go to Father Yah and say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I confess that I have sinned, I repent, and I ask you to forgive me. If you don't do that, it is right and just that you should suffer as much as Yeshua suffered when you die if you still haven't repented. So please get a fix on that. If you sin and you die with that sin unconfessed, you will go to hell and you will be tormented, and it's absolutely just and fair. So you need to get rid of all sin in this life. When a believer dies with unconfessed sin for which they've not been judged in this life, they're taken to a place of judgment and from there to the place of torment to pay the price for their unconfessed sins. Here they are tormented by torturers, as shown in the pictures on the hell page on the website. If a believer is without sin, they go directly to heaven. But this almost never happens these days. Those who have sinned, once they have paid the price for the sins that they did not see fit to seek atonement for through the offering of the Lamb of Yah, Yeshua, and for which they were not judged in this life, go to hell once they have paid the price. Only then do they enter heaven. When an unbeliever dies, they become a demon, or more accurately, an ancestor spirit. They are informed of the rules of engagement and return to their corpse to mislead the people left behind and try and lead them into such sin that the satanic forces can win the contest with the Almighty. Very little in this series, very little in my whole radio program, applies to unbelievers. I'm talking to believers about issues for believers. Please don't try and apply it to the vast majority. So I'm basically talking to about 22.7 million people, and of those 22.7 million, I'm talking about to about 2 million, really, on the face of the planet today. If at the end of the 7,000 years from creation, that's approximately 3003 in the modern calendar, if Satan defeats the Almighty and there are no believers free of sin on earth to call down judgment on the earth, then Satan and his servants will rule on earth for eternity. If there is at least one believer free of sin at the end of the 7,000 years to call down judgment, then Satan and his followers will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where they will be consumed by eternal fire. I therefore submit for your consideration that there are good reasons to deal with your sin in this life if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, it's up to you how you want to gamble. Remember that if you do believe, you are guaranteed a place in heaven, even if it is a lowly place, once you've paid the price for your unconfessed sin. If you've listened to my messages for the last few weeks, I hope you're getting to see clearly the distinction between outright unbelievers, outright servants of Satan, the people that are called believing unbelievers, those people who believe the Bible and Jesus, etc., but don't have a relationship and have never come to revelation of the reality of the Creator, and then the unbelieving believers in the outer darkness, and then the committed believers who are making some sort of attempt to serve Father. If you've made a real effort to serve the Almighty, there is the possibility that you will qualify for a high throne for eternity, which to my mind is much better than gambling on some sort of miserable existence as an ancestor spirit for the next roughly 1,000 years. See the broadcast, The Glory of Death as a Committed Believer, for more information about high thrones. Let's talk a bit about these visions of hell that we'll look at next week. In listening to what follows, please be aware of the following. Father requires that I do not edit or censor other people's work. So the articles that I summarize are presented just as I received them. It is up to you to sift out any error there may be. Consult the rest of this website for some pointers. In a vision or dream, Father is constrained in terms of the rules of engagement to only confirm or clarify information that is already known to the recipient, or to answer questions that they have explicitly asked. Accordingly, all visions and dreams are filtered through the knowledge, experience, and beliefs of the recipient, and are therefore to some extent colored and may contain material error. So if a person only knows the name of Jesus, that is the name that will be interpreted by them in the vision. If they believe that Jesus is God, they will interpret that Yeshua is the Almighty in some form, instead of realizing that he is a man. See also the article on the rules of engagement on the website. I pray that what follows will greatly challenge you as a believer in terms of your view of how you will spend the rest of your life. If after you have read these articles, or at least skimmed them, and you are not a believer, and now see merit in believing, please visit the Why Believe page on the website. Note that the Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? And if you are a believer, and after listening to this broadcast, you decide to clean up your act, then please visit the Relationship with Yah page on the website. You will also find much of relevance on the Why Believe page. Your Father in heaven deeply desires a personal relationship with you. And I am confident that in the final analysis, you will find that choosing to have such a relationship with him will be immensely rewarding. Conversely, you will be bitterly disappointed when you die if you have not sought such a relationship with him in this life. If you don't believe and you've been convicted, you could pray with me right now. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I confess that I did not believe you existed. I now believe that you do exist. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to guide me. I ask you to bring the people you want into my life. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and to lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask this in the name of Yeshua. I thank you that you've heard me. Amen. That's all it takes. Just commit your life to him and then start actively seeking to draw close to him. Read the article, seven components of drawing close for a huge amount of guidance. Returning to the subject of hell, hell is the commonly used term for the place of correction for unconfessed sin on the part of believers. This contrasts with the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the place of total destruction for unbelievers if Satan loses the contest. Say again, Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus, incorrect name, sin to use it, died a terrible death in order to provide an atoning sacrifice for confessed and repented sin. If we fail to avail ourselves of that sacrifice by repenting to Yah for our sin in the name of Yeshua in this life, we, as believers, will find ourselves in a terrible place of torment and terror, where we will pay the price for our unrepented sin, a just sentence given what Yeshua went through. The answer is to constantly seek Yah to show you your sin and then to confess it and repent of it, turning around and walking away from further sin. Note that this is a journey that requires that you constantly seek truth, and as you discover your error, repent. This may also require that you make restitution and other measures to rectify what you have done. The metaphor that I like for this topic is it's like peeling an onion. You strip away some sin that opens you up to realize some new truths, some more sin, some more error. Deal with it, repent, confess, strip that away, strip away the next layer, one layer at a time. It can take you years. Some acts of restitution, such as publicly returning things you've stolen, publicly confessing fraud and lies, etc., can be challenging, and it is then important to keep clearly in mind that you will pay a terrible price in pain and suffering if you do not repent and make right. If, as a believer, you repeatedly return to the same sin, you will eventually be rejected for eternity, and in that case, when you die, you will pay the price for your unrepented sin in hell, and then be cast in the lake of fire, where in a moment of torment and terror, you will be utterly consumed and cease to exist. As an unbeliever, if Satan wins the contest, you will remain on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon for eternity, as part of an evil and corrupt reign of over 100 billion demons. If Satan loses the contest at the end of the 7,000th year from creation, you will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and after a moment of torment and terror, you will be utterly destroyed. It's important to understand that when Father created all of this, He did not expect there to be unbelievers. He didn't make any plans for unbelievers other than that if there were such a thing, they would be instantly on death cast into the lake of fire. And then suddenly He was challenged by Satan. He unwisely accepted the challenge, and He's been losing the battle ever since. It is not Yah's fault the world is such a mess. It is Satan's doing. It's so important to understand that. And it's only through us that the situation can be turned around. In March 2011, I wrote an article, "No One is Intentionally Going to Hell." And I started off by saying, one of the things that I observe is that believers who are in error do not know they are in error. And most believers who are in sin do not really know that what they are doing is sin and that it is going to send them to hell for correction. And right now, most do not believe that hell exists, or if it does exist, that the unbelievers are going there. I truly believe that if someone has a deep revelation of hell and knows that what they're doing is sin, they will make a serious effort to stop it. Where I realize I've sinned, I try and exercise the discipline of immediately confessing and repenting. There are things I've battled with in my life, but where I was sinning, I was at least at some level conscious of it. Most of my sin I was not conscious of before I came aware that it was sin. Folks, this is really important to understand. Right now, you may think you're a pretty good person, not too much wrong with what you believe and what you do. I will pretty much guarantee you that if you start praying prayers like judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly, you suddenly discover you've got a whole lot of sin and error in your life, and it's going to take you at best a few years to sort all of that out. During that time, you need to be praying, you need to be looking, you need to be repenting, you need to be confessing, you need to be looking for guidance. You need to be very, very careful. In the first few years, you can get seriously hijacked. Hebrews 6 and 10 in the Bible make it clear that when we get to the point that we sin willfully, knowingly, there is no further repentance. Then we are rejected by the Almighty, and after paying the price of our sin in hell, we're cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be utterly destroyed. I think it is so that even in such cases, if the person concerned truly knew that their actions would bring eternal damnation and torment, they would cease doing what they were doing and change their behavior. What is my point? Coming down aggressively and judgmentally on someone who is sinning and who does not understand that they are sinning is counterproductive. We're told not to judge and not to condemn. Judgment is mine, says Yah, the eternally self-existing. The challenge is to seek truth in people and to build a bridge between their truth and what we have that we believe is truth, and thereby to lead them from their error into light and to pray that others will do the same for us. Folks, this is important. It's a journey. You start out unaware of these things. You start to become aware of them. You start to deal with them. There's grace during that period. But you get to a point where you keep doing it. You keep acting in pride. You keep acting in lust. You keep fornicating, even though you know it's wrong and you've gone through cleansing processes. There's a point Father is going, I have extended grace. There is no grace left to extend. You will now be utterly rejected. You need to be careful. Too many people play games with Yah. Coming back to my earlier point, anger, offense, pride, etc., will not bring a person to truth and deliverance from sin. Causing others to become angry, offended, rise up in pride, etc., will not cause them to receive what we have that is truth. And by the way, how sure are we that we have truth? There are things that I know that I know that Father has shown me clearly and unambiguously are truth. And this is much of what I write about and speak about. But if I have errors, I do not know what they are, because otherwise I would course correct, or at least I hope I would. Thus, I had been using the Afrikaans word ja for yes, probably ever since I could talk, certainly ever since I went to pre-primary school, because that is the common convention in the society where I lived as a child in South Africa. At the time of writing this article in 2011, I had known about the true name of the Creator being Yah, Y-A-H, for about 10 years. But until a few days before writing that article, I had not had a deep conviction that I was sinning by using Yah instead of yes, and thereby using a word that sounds the name as Yah, same as Yah. Folks, this is really important. The satanic and demonic realm have caused the true name of the Almighty to be just about completely forgotten, and then caused all sorts of groups of people to use a word like Yah, J-A, Jawohl in German, which sounds like the name of Yah, and thereby take the name of Yah in vain. The satanic realm is very devious. coming back to my journey and learning not to use the word yah for yes, was there grace for this? I hope so and think so. We have to grow and learn. Would I have been judged for this if I had not repented? That is complex. See below. Now I have a revelation, so I will certainly be judged going forward. At that time I recognized my sin and I prayed, Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua and confess that I have sinned by using the word Yah, thereby taking your name in vain. I confess that I have done this millions of times. I confess that this is sin, and I ask you to forgive me for the millions of times that I have done this. I ask you to help me to change my language so that I cease doing this. It was then up to me, assisted by Yah's Spirit, to change my behavior. As long as I was sincerely working on it, I believe there was grace. Should I have become cavalier about it, the grace would have ceased. I now slip occasionally, but for the most part, I'm disciplined about not using words that sound like Yah in my general speech and writing. Folks, I've been speaking about living a life above sin for a number of years now. I've been challenged by people who say that it's not possible. I don't accept that. If you have a real revelation of judgment, if you have a real revelation of qualifying for a high throne, if you have a real revelation of hell for unconfessed sin, it is entirely possible, in my experience, to progressively deal with all sin in your life so that you can walk without sin. It's up to you. As I said a moment ago, there's a challenging dimension to this. At that time in 2011, I had been praying, Father, please show me the level of my present deception, how to correct it, for about 15 years. I'd also been praying, Father, please judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. While I had been aware of the issue of Yah versus Yah, J-A versus Y-A-H, I had not really done much about it. However, since the Thursday preceding writing this article, I had a fairly deep conviction that I needed to change this as a matter of urgency. What would have happened in the intervening 15 years if I had died and ultimately ended up in front of the judgment seat? I would like to believe there would have been grace because of what I've been praying above, but I'm not going to stick my neck out and tell you categorically that there would be grace in such a circumstance. It's important to realize that just because you prayed it doesn't mean it's instantly done. Show me the level of my present deception. It's like the layers in the onion that I spoke about a few minutes ago. You've got to learn some truth, apply that truth, get rid of some error. That opens you for the next layer of error, the next layer of next layer of error, and the next layer of truth. Some of it can take days, weeks, months, or years to strip away the next level. Sometimes Father has to arrange for you to connect with somebody in a different country, get to a particular website, get somebody to email you. It's not that easy for him just to show you your error. It's a lot easier today. You've got my website with about 1,000 pages. When printed and bound, the books amount to about 9,000 pages. There's a huge resource there that's available for you to help you move into all truth much more quickly than I did. Returning to my journey about Yah, the Afrikaans word for yes, there were many other issues I had been dealing with, but no, I could have made an effort on that front as well. The bottom line of this message is therefore, do not get angry and aggressive with others over their errors. Constantly seek guidance with regard to your errors and pray the two prayers above on a regular basis if you sincerely do not want to be tormented in hell for part of eternity. There is a corollary to this. Once we have been told about an error and we do nothing about it, we will also be subject to a harsher judgment. As best I recall, no one has ever said to me that it was sin to use Yah, J-A, Afrikaans. I have just had the thought and have said it to myself. I've not had another independent witness. But now, at the time of writing, that I have had that witness, even though it is in myself, I will be judged more severely if I continue in this error. And in that particular case, I fairly quickly course-corrected, became very disciplined. One of the disciplines I took on was where I was tempted to say, yeah, I would say yep instead, or yes. It's a journey. It's about self-discipline. It's about noticing. And as one starts with something like that, you will be aware of it, and it'll slip out. It'll slip out. You say, yeah. And just stop. Father, I'm so sorry. I confess that a sin. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. And move on. It's not difficult. Yeshua died to make it easy to repent of sin. The hard work is to recognize it and bring yourself to do it. So in conclusion, grant grace to others as Yah grants grace to you. Do not become proud of your own revelation. Seek to build a truth between their truths and the truth you believe you have, and pray that others will grant you the same mercy. Pray for correction and judgment on an ongoing basis. You will pay the price of all unconfessed sin in hell after you die. Folks, you have a choice. Pray prayers like, show me the level of my present deception, how to correct it. Lead me into all truth by your Spirit. Judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. And then notice, notice, notice. Be awake. Be sensitive. Somebody sends you an email and may have a lot of error in it, but mixed up with the error is a truth that you need. Sift the truth. Don't look for error. Don't fuss about the error. Seek truth, not error. Fundamental principle in this life with Yah. Seek truth, not error. There is a world full of error out there. So why stress about it? Seek truth. Filter the truth from between the error. When you meet others, look for the truth they have that you lack. And if there's a whole lot of error, then if appropriate, move on. I want to reinforce and say there are good, decent people in hell right now. If you're a believer, there are people you know who are believers, who have died, who are in hell right now. Hell is not for unbelievers. They die and remain on earth as ancestor spirits and will be cast into the fire and utterly destroyed at the end of the age if Satan loses the contest. Hell is for believers who die with unconfessed sin. So unless you get serious about dealing with sin, you will spend time in hell. It is vital to understand that most of the believers who end up in hell are good, decent church, mosque, synagogue, yoga school, etc., going believers who led good lives, but who were in major sin and error. For example, worshipping Yahshua as if he were Yah, worshipping the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or whatever book, calling the Almighty God or the Lord instead of his true name, calling Yahshua Jesus, working on the Saturday Sabbath, putting their parents in old age homes, using intrauterine contraceptive devices, etc., etc., etc. For every unconfessed sin and error, when you die, you will spend time being tormented in hell. Just to pick up the intrauterine devices, those cause abortions. They prevent the ovum from implanting fertilized egg. It's murder. A woman with one of those devices may have committed dozens of murders in the time that device has been there. And she doesn't realize she's a murderer. And she will pay a horrible price in hell when she dies. So to wrap up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? In closing, I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Father created us to be His friends. That is the only reason we exist. Not all the other stuff. All the other stuff is secondary. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or how poor you are, how well educated you are, how poorly educated you are, what race or tribe, what gender, your age. He wants you to be His friend. It doesn't matter if you're a manual laborer or a server in a restaurant or a atomic scientist. He wants to be your friend. Please give Him a chance right now. Five key documents on the main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Vitally important steps to take in order to draw close. Recommended worship. Songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio pages, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Please work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies and Yah's enemies His footstool. I would ask you to consider praying along with me right now. Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I have now come to understand that it is your desire for me to become your friend. Father, I choose today, right now, to seek to become your friend. Father, I don't know how to do it, but I know that you know what's required for me to do it. I ask you to bring the people you want into my life. I ask you to take the people you don't want in my life out. I ask you to open the doors you want open in my life and close the doors that you want closed. I ask you to lead, take me by the hand and lead me. Show me what to pray. Send people to help me. Show me what to read. And help me in every possible way. Amen. You can pray that prayer right now, or if you don't pray it now, at any time. I look forward to hearing from you. Good night.
Father, I